Now more with Frank Gaffney.
Welcome back. I'm very pleased to say we are joined by Philip Haney, a man who for some 13 or 14 years served in the Department of Homeland Security, where he was, among other things, a Customs and Border Protection officer. He was also detailed to the National Targeting Center in Washington, D.C. for several, well, very important intervals where he helped that center understand rather better than I think they might otherwise have done the nature of the threat we're facing these days from Islamic supremacism and the global jihad movement that animates it. Phil is the author of a book by him and Art Moore, See Something, Say Nothing, A Homeland Security Officer Exposes the Government's Submission to Jihad. He is also a very welcome guest here. We haven't spoken in far too long. It's great to have you back. Phil, thanks so much for taking some time with us.
You're certainly welcome. Thank you very much for the opportunity.
Well, I'd like to catch up with you, Phil, on a couple of different topics, but maybe before we get into some of the details, we could just do a little level setting, as the military likes to say, on the nature of the challenge we're facing. I've used the term Islamic supremacism, global jihad movement is another term. Are those apt ways of characterizing the problem we're facing, or are we better off calling it, for example, violent extremism, and to emphasize that it really has nothing to do with Islamic theology?
No, by its own definition, the gravitational force of the global Islamic movement derives from Sharia law. Sharia law defines itself emphatically as superior to any man-made form of law, which would include the U.S. Constitution. So it's entirely accurate to characterize it as a supremacism movement. It's defined that way. They're not apologetic about it in the rest of the world.
To the extent that they're actually clear on this point, the jihadists of various stripes, Phil Haney, whether it's those of the Sunni sort of sectarian stripe or the Shia, whether it's those who are engaged in various kinds of violence or Hijra, the sort of colonization or fundraising for jihad, the zakat, or what the Muslim Brotherhood calls civilization jihad, is it fair to say that all of them, irrespective of some differences to be sure, have a shared sort of sense of what their duty is to impose Sharia worldwide?
Absolutely. That in that respect, they have no differences at all. Strategically, the overarching goal of both the Shia and the Sunni world is very simple: implementation of Sharia law everywhere on the face of the planet. What they argue about and even fight about is tactical, how to go about doing it. And the Muslim Brotherhood defines it as civilizational jihad. That's one tactic. The Shias define it a different way, as wiping Israel off the map and eliminating the great Satan. But those are tactics intended to accomplish an overarching goal, which is really quite simply stated: implementation of Sharia law. So in that sense, they have no differences whatsoever.
And Phil Haney, in your book, See Something, Say Nothing, you describe your experiences in the Homeland Security Department and with other elements of the so-called interagency that despite the clarity that you've just described on the part of our enemies has nonetheless gotten things rather confused, to be charitable, or simply wrong. And I'd ask you, if you could, to just give us a sense of how is it, here we are, 15-plus years on since 9/11, where law enforcement, the military, our intelligence community, as well as, you know, those folks that you worked with at the Department of Homeland Security, seem to be so confused or worse, muddle-headed about the danger and the source of that danger.
Well, I'll go back to the allegory I've used quite often. as I've traveled around the country in the last few months, and that is follow the trail and find the nest. You know, my background's in entomology, and I actually was a specialist in ants and the behavior of insects. And basically, using that allegory as an example, Department of Homeland Security basically says there is no nest, that these ants are basically wandering around aimlessly, and that just by some unknown process, they all of a sudden become radicalized and become violent. And they disconnect the behavior of the individual ants with the fact that they're part of a colony. And it's that simple.
Well, you've actually put your finger on one of the key points here, of course, which is that these individual ants are sort of the full extent of the problem to some degree, that what are called lone wolves, when they are engaged in violent acts against Americans or others in the West, notably, we're told they really do have no connection to this larger doctrinal program or the institutions that are promoting it. You mentioned the Muslim Brotherhood. I'd like you to talk a little bit about that group, Phil Haney, from your experience countering these guys in the Department of Homeland Security, or even just trying to make book on who they are and what they are up to in this country.
Well, sure. A lot of the people listening are very familiar with the magazine that was published by Al-Qaeda of Iraq called Inspire. That word is derived from the Quran, chapter 8, and it's Haridi. So what does the word inspire mean? It means that if you are just by yourself and all you have is a rock, well, pick it up and go after the enemy. If there's two, if there's five, if there's 10, the idea is to take action. That's Quranic in concept. That's why I constantly maintain there's no such thing as a lone wolf jihadi, because after all, what are they radicalized by? Reading the back of a milk carton? See, we never finished the question. What are they radicalized by? So going back to your question about the Muslim Brotherhood and the supremacy of Sharia law, in Islam, there's a concept called fitna, which means to oppose the advancement of Islam. That is a crime, according to the worldview of Islam. And anybody who obstructs the advancement of Islam, i.e. Sharia law, is guilty of that crime. And that is why you see people taking action, inspired by what the Quran teaches, motivated by an obligation and a duty to help promote the advancement of Sharia law in Islam, and they actually do take action.
Phil Haney, there are some who are critical of the likes of thee and me, who, listening to that kind of analysis of your dot connecting as an entomologist, they're inclined, and I'm thinking here of outfits like the Southern Poverty Law Center, for example, to dismiss all of this as conspiracy theories and at worst, hate mongering and bigotry and Islamophobia. How do you respond to such efforts to dismiss what your practice and study of sort of these counter-jihadist efforts has informed you by?
Well, look at what's going on in, is it Malaysia or Indonesia, where the Christian president is on trial right now for blasphemy, and they define blasphemy as him simply quoting a passage from the Quran that says that Muslims should not be friends with unbelievers. And for simply quoting that, making that factual statement, he is now on trial, essentially for his life. This is the president of an entire country.
Phil, I want you to hold that thought. We're going to come right back with more with Philip Haney. We'll be talking about how that translates into a threat, not just for Christians and, for that matter, Muslims who don't want to live under Sharia, but for the rest of us elsewhere as well, right after this.
go to securefreedomradio.org today. It's your freedom. It's your country. Frank Gaffney's Secure Freedom Radio.